going to build you a house. Right here. Our house.
I want to take Mildred up to D.C. and get married.
You sure about that?
By the power vested in me by the District of Columbia, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
In here?
Richie.
What you doing in bed with that woman?
I'm his wife.
That's no good here.
Richard Perry Loving, being a white person, and Mildred Jeter, being a colored person, did unlawfully cohabitate as man and wife.
Richard?
I believe this is a battle that could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
We ain't heard anybody.
The state of Virginia will argue that it is unfair to bring children of mixed race into the world.
Tell that woman to come over here.
La venue. Okay, my voice is all fucked up. Sorry, I was drinking last night. Anyway, though, people, I don't know why I'm getting so late to doing this, but oh, I know why. It's because it's Oscar season, and I figured, well, I got all these screeners, and I've seen them, and most of these movies I've seen in theaters, so I better review the movies that possibly could get nominated that I didn't get a chance to review. So here we're doing Loving, about a month too late, if you will. But it got nominated for a couple of awards in the Critics' Choice Award, and I have a feeling it's going to come up in the SAG Awards, and I don't count the Golden Globes because that's a piece of horseshit, and I'm pretty sure it's going to get some Oscar nods, but not in the categories we're thinking of, like Best Picture and stuff like that, because, well, there's just a lot of movies coming out. So let's go ahead and talk about Loving. Loving you. Oh, I'm gonna fuck my vocal cord up some more. Anyway, though, so this is the story of, there's some shit right here too. This blew my fucking mind. Their last names are Loving. Got Joel Edgerton playing Richard Loving and Ruth Negga. That girl needs to change her name, seriously. Like, I know she's British and everything, but how about you go live in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana for about a couple of years with that last name, whatever. I'm sure people would love to have a chat with you, Miss Negga. And you've seen her around. She's like up and coming, if anything. She's been in like World War Z. I know she did a voice in Dark Souls. And she's clearly on, you know, Marvel's TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, if I'm not mistaken, she was in Warcraft too, to be honest. But, you know, a lot of people was in that shitty ass film. So, yeah, she was. She was the queen or something like that. So basically we follow these two couples, and it's just basically a movie about, well, it's basically a movie about how much they're in love with each other and the challenges of what's it like growing up in Virginia. But basically we have Joel Edgerton, and it opens up with her pretty much saying she's pregnant. I thought this was like a flashback to the future, if you will, kind of scene. And then we was going to show how it led up to this moment, but no, it's literally how it opens up. She's pregnant. He decides to take her up on down to Washington, D.C. They get married because, well, it's against the law for a colored person and a white person to get married in the state of old, good old Virginia, country-ass, backwards fucking Virginia. And they decide to come back to Virginia where all their family is, and next thing you know it, they wake up to being pretty much swatted by the, or raided, if you will, and they say, "That's a mistake. Get your ass up, boy." And they pretty much take them to jail. I forgot who bailed Joel Edgerton out. I think it was his mother. Somebody bailed him out, and she had to stay all the way up until like damn near a week or something like that. And the only way she was getting bailed out was by her own people. They told him, they said, "You better not bring your white ass back up in here and bail her out. Get her people to do it." So basically, he got a lawyer. I forgot who this played this lawyer here, but he got a lawyer, and the lawyer, they pretty much stated that, you know, they pretty much have to leave the state of Virginia if they want to stay married, and they can't return for 25 years. If they return, they will be sentenced to prison. I think it was 25 years too of prison. or 50 years. It was something like that. I can't remember the amount of years in here. This is going to show you how backwards fucking Virginia was. And this was about 1958, if I'm not mistaken. And this takes span in a span of 10 years, so around 1958 to 68. So then, you know, clearly they moved to D.C. city. And, you know, everything's cool here. You know, I see kids playing in the street and playing old stick ball. I'm like, oh, man, this looks like fences. And I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with this. So people, they don't seem to be worried about race, no color or anything like that. There's a lot of black people living here. Everybody's happy. But Ruth Nigga, she's a good old, damn, that sounds so terrible when I say her name. I'm just going to call her Mildred. Mildred, she just can't take it no more. She's like, I don't like this place. Because she's so fucking country. We need to raise our children back. So they decide to move back there. She writes a letter to the, I want to say the NCAA, but it's not that at all. It's the ACLU. Yeah, the ACLU. And sure enough, they respond back to her saying they want to help her case. And basically the person who responded back to her was played by Nick Kroll, who's a fucking cartoon character in this film. And you might remember him playing a cartoon character as the douche in Sausage Party. He plays Bernie Cohan in here, and I don't remember who the guy he was teamed up with in this film. And they say, hey, we're going to take your case on. We're going to take this all the way up to the Supreme Court, so that way Virginia has to allow you to stay in here. And sure enough, this is what the movie goes through. That's your plot synopsis. Now, I got to say, first of all, because this was a huge thing back in the day. This is pretty much the opening here of what ended segregated marriages in Virginia. Their story right here, the Loving story. And there's a cool documentary of this on HBO, which is really damn good and actually gets into a little bit more detail than this movie does. So I highly recommend people going to go see that. The first thing I want to go ahead and say, which is really interesting, because this movie in particular seems to be concerned with, you know, how the state of Virginia's law. I gotta tell you this right now. Them laws don't mean jack shit. I would rather spend a night in jail than get my ass beat by them locals, okay? We talking about 1958 through 68, redneck, don't kiss no nigger, don't hang out with no nigger white dudes up in Virginia. And they worried about a fucking piece of paper with a law saying, hey, if we catch y'all together, we gonna put y'all in jail? Shit, that's the least of my worries. Jail is safe right now. I mean, granted, it ain't safe, you know, if the cops are fucking harassing you and everything, but this movie don't show that, really. But at the same time, it's like, you know, the locals are way far worse than anything, because we've seen in these movies type before, they'll go out of their way to sneak up in your house, whoop your ass, catch you on the street. I mean, we saw in Selma, white dudes hanging out with Martin Luther King, and this was during the civil rights time, too, as well. White dudes hanging out with Martin Luther King, they got their ass whooped by white people. And it's called them nigger lovers and shit like that. Half of them were killed and stuff. So I wouldn't be concerned with these laws. I was more concerned with these locals. Now, to get into some positives here, because I got to tell y'all this right now. This is probably going to sound shocking, because I think this has about an 89, 90% on the film, Rotten Tomatoes. All the critics are loving it. They're eating this shit up, no pun intended with the loving word there. I didn't like this film. I didn't like this film at all. This film sucked ass, okay? No, I take that. It didn't suck ass, okay? I'm over-exaggerating that part here. But I ain't over-exaggerating my part in not liking this film. I walked in here when I first saw it. I was looking forward to seeing this. And this was about a month ago. And I remember it was like the first week of November or something. We had our screener. And I enjoyed the hell. I just got a screener for it in the mail. I rewatched. I looked at it, and I was just like, oh, yeah. Now I remember why I didn't review this. It's not that fucking interesting. That's why. A lot of people are saying in their reviews, this ain't your typical Oscar bait, you know, gotta have the overdramatic white people, looking at you or getting ready to call you a nigger or something like that, or this ain't a courtroom case drama or anything like that. I kind of wish it was, because basically we just following two people that are too shy to speak, look into each other's eyes for a fucking 2 hours of a film, and I'm like, yeah, I can only tolerate. Now, I want to get some positives, first of all. Now, after watching the documentary, I got to say, Joel Edgerton and Ruth Negga, hope I'm saying that right, they give a great performance. And the reason why it's so great, because they are portraying literally who the two people in real life were. Like, I've seen the documentary, I've heard these people talk. The mannerisms that Joel Edgerton and Ruth does, it's like spot on. It's like, you couldn't ask for a better. Now, the problem with that is, my number one law in all films is, nobody opens up their goddamn mouth in this movie. You can't understand a word they fucking said. When I watched this at home, I'm like 30 minutes in, I said, fuck it, putting subtitles on. I don't know what the hell he just said right now, whatever. You know, I understand that movies like to be accurate. People like movies to be accurate to the time piece that it was taken in. But see, Christmas, I gotta say, these two leads are boring. They are boring. I'm not asking for a courtroom drama like everybody else is saying, whatever. I'm not even asking for. Actually, I kind of am. I am asking for the locals. Or there's even a plot in here where, you know, once they get back to Virginia after getting married and stuff, they're saying, oh, someone told on us, you know, someone told the police about us. They never once tell you who that was or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, oh, it was the mother. No, it was her, Ruth Negga's father or something like that. You know, even he didn't like it. I thought that could have brought some good drama to the film. But the movie, I will say that it's just not for me. This probably not gonna be for a lot of people, to be honest, but a lot of people seem to be loving this, mainly critics and stuff. And critics are eating the shit out of this asshole movie or whatever. But when it comes to me, there just wasn't nothing in this movie to offer or anything. I'm talking about the drama here and stuff like that. I understand what Jeff Nichols, the director and the writer of this film, was trying to do. He's just trying to show that this is just a simple movie about a man loving his wife, you know? And I get that, but it's following a really important time period here that was important. And there's even on the TV screen, you got Ruth Negga in here. She's watching the TV of, you know, MLK do the march and everything, like we saw in Selma and stuff. And she just seems to have really no reaction to anything that's going on in that TV. It's just like, and I'm not blaming her acting performance. I'm sure that's how the real life woman she played was kind of like that as well too, after seeing the documentary and reading about these people more and stuff like that. So once again, not knocking their performance, just knocking the direction of the performance. That why do we need a movie about these two? Or like, if you're not gonna have the more interesting things going around it, and really the movie's more about them, then there's not really much to say about these two here. And give me a 2-hour-plus film, I'm like, I don't know about that. But every time someone asks Ruth Negga something, because Michael Shannon comes up out of nowhere in this film. And you know Jeff Nichols, he's got to have a Michael Shannon in him. I think he did a Midnight Special earlier this year. Michael Shannon comes out in that. Which, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really like Midnight Special. I watched that, I was like, what the fuck are people talking about? I think Jeff Nichols is one of those critics fucking... a lovable critic guy or something like that, where I'm the only one sitting there going like the dumbass going like, why the fuck people like you? I'm starting not to get it, really. And after this movie, I'm like, okay, you paying somebody off or something like that. But either way, though, Michael Shannon comes in here. He's the Time magazine reporter. He works for the magazine. And he's the one, this character he plays, he gets the famous photo that was on the cover of Time magazine here. I'm trying to look his name. I hate when they fucking do this on IMDb. But he plays Gray Villet. And he's in there for like maybe 2 minutes of the film. You know, he kind of pops up out of nowhere. He's all happy and down. He's running in the house and stuff like that. And he spends the whole day with them, getting nice shots of them and stuff like that. This simple man and wife, you know. And you think there'd even be some kind of ramifications for this, or something would go down deeper for these photos. But nothing really happens. And he's just like, I don't really get it. But he kind of asks her, you know, so do you guys might be going to the Supreme Court. He's like, so what do you think about that? She's like, well, I don't really know. It's almost like both of them have like autism, but they just like really shy though. I get it or whatever, but she's like, well, I don't really know what to think about it. And it's like, okay, do you even know what you're fighting for? Fighting for your rights, girl. Come on. Get a little bit more oomph in your system or something like that. Get a little more, I mean, no wonder people walking all over you too. It's like, because Joel Edgerton, I gonna lie, when you see him in this movie, you look like he's ready to beat somebody's ass or whatever. You know, he's got that neo-Nazi hair and stuff going on or whatever. So he's just like, yeah, I wouldn't walk. But he's just sweet as hell in this film, whatever. Like, he's just a big old white teddy bear for Ruth Negga in this film. And it shows he's just a sweet guy. I mean, there's not a bad bone in this system, because they even explain it too. Like, he grew up around black people. His father worked for a black man, you know, so he doesn't see color or anything like that. He hangs around all the black guys and stuff like that, once again, because he doesn't see color. So, and there is an interesting scene too in here where one of the black friends asks him, he's just like, now you know what it's like to live in our shoes. You know, you wake up every day, but you white, you know, you don't have no problem. And, you know, nothing really comes from that neither, to be honest, like that. You would think, like, he would start questioning himself to his wife or something like that. No, he just, like, goes home and tells her, I can take care of you. And he's just like, damn, is any of the consequences of this film going to lead up to something? I mean, shit. There became a point in the film. But back to Ruth Negga. I'm jumping all over the fucking place. But back to Ruth Negga. So he asks her, he's like, so do you think you have a win? He's like, where we go? That's why you keep hearing this clip everywhere too, by the way, because it's the only time Ruth Negga has like a complete sentence is when they ask her, so you think you have a chance to win? She's like, well, we gonna lose the small battles, but we gonna win the big one in the end or whatever. And it's just like, girl, you should be concerned as shit, okay? They're talking about killing your ass or whatever. They're talking about separating you two. Like, there's not a worry in the world. Well, love is going to conquer all. That's what it felt like. And I'm just like, oh, God. You poor, naive people. I feel bad for you, because I feel like people are just taking advantage. Because they're lawyers. Nick Kroll in here. When I say they're a cartoon character, you can just tell they don't give a fuck about their relationship or anything like that in this film. And they come off in the movie, too, just weird as shit, too. Like everything just feels so grounded and has this, like, dark lore hanging above it and stuff. Like, he comes in here with, like, he just plays like a cartoon character. He's moving shit around to her, and he's just, like, thinking, like, what the fuck is going on with him? And you can just tell that they're just doing it really for their career advancement, because they want to be the lawyers, those famous lawyers that ended segregation of marriage in this state and stuff like that, you know, in their state. So, and I can tell you right now that you ain't going to be no famous, right? You're going to be a motherfucker that gets hanged. But anyway, though. I just didn't enjoy Nick Kroll's performance in here at all. Neither of the lawyers, to be honest. I did enjoy Ruth Negga and Joel Edgerton. I thought they were fantastic in the film. Nominated worth? I wouldn't go that far now. I don't even think this movie should be nominated, to be honest. and the thing about the movie, too, is I get that they love each other in the film, because they keep saying it, and, you know, they're there and stuff like that. I mean, it's there. It's definitely there. But I feel like the consequences in this film didn't really feel like I should be worried for him. Like, I was worried for him. There was this moment where they're in DC, and she's talking about, I always thought, you know, your mother would give birth. And they do this switcheroo where they have one of the, I think the brothers or the friends come pick her up when they switch cars and stuff like that. I'm nervous. I'm like, girl, I don't get what you're thinking right here. Look. You need to just keep your ass in D.C. I don't know what you don't get. Like, you're going to spend life in prison. There was even a scene, too, before she got bailed out, whatever, where this big black dude comes in, and he's in chains. He's growling and shit, whatever. And the white cop, he's like, I ought to let you spend the night with her. You're lucky she getting bailed, whatever. And it's just like, the fuck, dude? You insinuating rape or something on this chick? It's like, oh, okay, that's... So, rape on a pregnant woman. All right, that's beautiful here. All right, that's art, I guess. But after that scene, though, and then they were... Because the cops found them, and it seemed like they were going to go to jail, but then all of a sudden, their lawyer shows up and just says, they made a mistake because I told them they can come. And the next, no, they scot-free. He just tells them, don't never come back to Virginia. They leave. They're gone for 5 years. They have two more kids. They have three kids now. And... You're just starting to think here. It's like, look, man, I know something worse had to go on in here. Look, I know that people are saying, oh, you just want to see people get their ass beat and stuff. Yes, because that's what happened. That's what happened in real life. Yes. Film it. Show me the pain. I want to feel their pain. I want to know it. It just seemed like everything worked out for them. So everything, and I know it didn't go down this easy. Now, granted, it seemed like the hardest thing in this movie is just that judges and courts kept telling them no. That seemed to be the hardest thing in it. And it's like, you never really see them go back to jail anymore. And the reason why this whole thing even got started, because they're living a nice life in D.C. I mean, granted, Joel Edgerton... he bought land, so he probably spent a couple of bills on that right there, whatever. And then plus he's driving back to Virginia to do brickwork and stuff like that. But then they even has a job out in D.C. as well, too, if I'm not mistaken, because they show him right before his son was hit by a car. He's working there and stuff, too. So I don't really know what the driving force of her basically. Okay. What I'm about to say, it might sound stupid as shit, and then people probably like, yeah, like this whole review here because you don't like this movie, you bitch. But there was a scene. Kids are playing stickball. Oh, I remember those days, man. You out in the field hitting the little ball around with that big-ass stick and shit like that. Oh, yeah. Good times. Dude hit a home run. One of the kids hit a home run. Boy runs out in the street. And they even show you. It's like some foreshadowing shit, too. This movie spoils its own self. They show you these two kids. They got some kids. They don't even look in the street. They just run out in the motherfuckers. Right? Even the car stops and say, hey, you crazy kids, whatever. It's just like, y'all don't teach y'all kids to fucking look both ways. Kid deserved to get fucking hit then. So, they set this up. Kid hits a home run. Ball goes out in the street. Next thing you know it, kid goes back to get it. He gets it. He runs out. Doesn't look both ways. Once again, car hits him. You don't see the car hit or anything like that. And that's one of the times I was worried. I was like, oh my God. Dude, fucking car just fucking murdered that child, whatever. The kid is up in fucking bed. Well, Joel Edgerton gets home. He sees bags are packed, whatever. He says, Mildred? And she's like, I'm up here. Kid is in fucking bed. And he's just like, oh, he just got a bruise on the head. I was like, what? This movie is just tugging fucking heartstrings. It's like, it just seemed to be no, this got to be the luckiest family ever. I was like, it's like, I'm looking at them like, when is something tragic going to happen? Damn, shit. When is something really going to drive that force to say, Joel Edgerton to say, you know, his character say, this is enough. I'm sick of this whatever shit. Look, I just love my wife, and I don't see why we ain't causing any harm or anything. Basically, she just tells him when the kid gets, she said, I don't want to live here anymore. My kids have no room. They feel locked up, and I don't want to raise a family here. And I just like, so you mean to tell me she is willing to risk going to jail, leaving her kids for 25, 50 years, however many years it was, with her sister and other family members, just because she's a country fuck and she doesn't want her kids growing up in a major city. And I remember right there and then I was like, yeah, I'm kind of checked out now. I just want this to end already. I was like, yeah, I don't think this movie's going to have any problems here. Right? And sure enough, because Joel Edgerton, he's a good husband. He just follows her word and just says, hey, you know, the thing is, like, you know, he says, I can protect you and stuff. You can't protect her against this law. The best way of protecting her is by sitting her down saying, babe, or, huh, whatever the fuck they said back in 1965, whatever the hell time frame was, whatever. Nigga. Yeah, there you go. Nigga. We safe here. We safe. We can work in peace. You can walk the streets with me. Nobody says a damn thing. We go back there. People staring and shit. White people looking at us. People, she can't even sleep at night on the fear of fact that after someone, them cops breaking into their house in the middle of the fucking night, arresting both of them and shit like that. She can't even sleep at night. And she wants to move back to this fucking, are you serious? And I was just like, I just don't get it. So they do this shit in secrecy. There's even a scene where they go in the back and front door just to go to this one room, and this one kid, he's watching them and shit, and you thinking this kid's gonna snitch on him. He's like, ooh, he's the son of something. No, that never comes back neither. He's just like, okay. And then they get a house out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a scene where a truck is following Joel Edgerton, but it never leads up to anything neither. And he's just like, I really not seeing any consequences here. And it just seems like Joel Edgerton throughout the film, he has a problem every time Nick Kroll's character brings up the Supreme Court. Like, he kind of just shrugs his shoulder. Now, I get that he's shy and stuff like that, but it seemed like he had something to say. Like, because at first he did say, he's like, we just simple people living our lives with the Supreme Court. It seemed like he wanted to say something like, fuck the Supreme Court, or it's not that big of a deal, or something like that. But the words just never came out in the film enough. I feel like this movie is just lacking in terms of dialogue to help push that feeling of me actually feeling what these two are going through here, because they don't say shit. Nothing really occurs. There's never really any kind of negative reactions to anything. Like, granted, they should be on the... Like, I love it because Ruth Negga, she's more comfortable in the country than she was in D.C. And it blows my mind. It's just like... Maybe you just got to be a country person to get this. I don't get it. Like, Mac 2.0, where you at? Speak for me, brother. I mean, speak for me. I think I saw a comment where he said even he wants to get the fuck out of Alabama. So I just don't get it. Maybe this is just, you got to live there to get it, I guess. I don't know. I've been to these places and I go like, yeah, I never want to live here. When you see white dudes in overalls coming out the fucking woods, he's just like, no, thank you. Yeah, because my family, if you don't know people, I got family that lives in parts of Louisiana that are Creole. They look white as shit, speak that language and everything, and they live somewhere that ain't even on the fucking map of Louisiana and shit. So trust me, these woods that they live in and shit like that, I don't want no part of that shit. And Ruth Negga, she just feels so more comfortable here, and I never got into the psyche of these two people. Of what drove them to be what they were, or why they wanted to be here mainly why she wanted to be here. It seems like she was more of the, even though they're both the shy, quiet type, and he's kind of the man of the family type, whatever, she's kind of the driving force of, you know, it's that old school rule of, you know, whatever the wife says, I do, you know, and I don't mean that in a bad way, neither, whatever, so I mean, like, you know, she is the mother of my children, she's the reason why I come home at night, she's the reason I have food in my stomach and stuff, and she's the reason why I work. Basically, she's my driving force, so therefore, I'm going to take care of her and protect her and stuff like that. And she kind of has, like, the final words and things, which I kind of liked about the movie. I know I'm shitting on this movie, but there are some moments in this film I like. I think it is sweet. They do definitely come across as, like, you know, like, aw, you know, I do like them. And, you know, you wish the best for them and stuff. That's why you feel those moments of fear, because being a black man, you already know, like, ooh, them time frames, it ain't good for you. Especially even you being a Negro lover, Joel Edgerton, in this film. You're like, they definitely going to torture your ass. You're going to get the worst of it, to be honest. But you never see the consequences or really feel them. Or it's like they set them up and then they never go nowhere. And just like, huh. And I know those critics out there talking about, this is not what this movie is about. Then why are they setting them up then? They're setting them up to be fucking cock teases, really, and shit. And then you get to the Supreme Court where they won, and it kind of just ends or whatever. And I thought the subtext was more better than the movie, because they were talking about he was killed 5 years after, you know, he built the house for her and her kids to live in. And she died in 2008, and I was like, holy shit, she lived that long? And he died 5 years in a drunk car accident. Someone hit him. And he passed away 5 years after he built the house and that they were allowed to be married and stuff like that. But it was like, after all that and stuff, why would you want to live in Virginia? I mean, I get it. Just because that law passed, though, don't mean those people that live in that town are going to be fine with it. I'm just going to tell you that right. I'm sure they got a couple of bricks thrown through their house. A couple of bricks. Maybe someone, kids probably making fun of their kids at school and shit, calling them fucking half-breeds and shit like that or whatever. So, I mean... I can only imagine some of the stuff that went on that wasn't in this movie, the documentary and stuff like that. But for me, I did enjoy parts of the movie, like I said. The tension is there, even though it goes nowhere. It leaves you blue balls. You're just like, oh, okay. The performances on Joel Edgerton and Ruth Negga are really good. I didn't care for the lawyers that much. I thought they were fucking jokes. Michael Shannon, he's in there for a couple, a minute or two, whatever, but I think he did, like, a great cameo. I thought it was good. I was like, oh, okay. Finally, someone that can capture the moment. It's like we're watching this lovely couple from the eyes of Michael Shannon. Maybe that's what this movie kind of needed, maybe. Maybe it needed, like, a third party there for me to watch through the eyes of them or something like that. Because I don't want to watch no fucking 2-hour, 10-minute film about two people looking at each other's eyes. I'm about, well, if it gonna be that way, it gonna be that way. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? What do you think about going to prison, Mildred?
Well, I don't really think much about it at all.
I was like, what? I wish I was a reporter. I would ask, what do you think about getting a broomstick shoved up your vagina when you're up in prison, getting raped by this 6'7" black man right here? Whatever.
I don't really think much about it at all. What do you mean you don't think much about it at all?
Damn, girl. Tell me something, please. Nonetheless, man, I thought the cinematography looked good in the film. Because it looks cheap as fuck. That's what Jeff Nichols does best. He makes cheap shit look good. Joel Edgerton does a great job. I already said that probably. Said like, I'm trying to think. I'm stretching for positives here. Yeah, man, this is just gonna get a streamer for me. Goddamn, I'm about to be the only motherfucker. I am about to get crucified like a motherfucker. I like La La Land. Hey, remember that, people? That which I think is a way better love story, to be honest, if you really want to get down to it. But here, I'm not feeling it. I'm just gonna give this a streamer. And personally, I'm just gonna tell people, you can skip this movie and just watch the documentary. I think the documentary is just that much better.
I can take care of you.
I know that.
I can take care of you.
I know we have some enemies, but we have some friends too.
You realize this case could alter the Constitution of the United States.
You think you'll lose?
We may lose the small battles, but win the big war.
Is there anything you'd like me to say to the Supreme Court justices of the United States?
Yeah.